Welcome to Sister Speak True Blood, where we discuss season 4 of the HBO series True Blood from a sister's point of view. I'm Sister J.
And I'm Sister K. And welcome to episode 29. Let's get started.
Okay, what are we doing first?
All right. Well, we're going to talk about episode You Smell Like Dinner.
Okay.
But before we do, I totally missed last week to mention a couple of comments that we received on our website.
Okay.
So I would like to start off with Marilyn.
Hey, Marilyn.
Who said, "Hi, sisters. I was so happy to see you restarted your True Blood podcast. I have missed your entertaining take on the goings-on in Bon Temps. I am so excited that the start of season 4 of True Blood has finally arrived, and I cannot wait to hear what the sisters have to say about tonight's season premiere episode. Marilyn."
Well, thanks, Marilyn, for that email and or that comment on our website. We appreciate it very much.
Yes, we do.
And sorry we forgot last week.
I just totally forgot to look. And then the second one was from Apple Peach Love.
Oh, my. Okay.
And they say, "Glad you are back, sisters. True Blood and Sister Speak go together like peanut butter and jelly."
I like that. So, are you the peanut butter? And I'm the jelly, right?
I don't know. They say, "I am so going to miss those recaps that you do so enthusiastically."
That's right.
"Can't wait to hear your first podcast for season 4, episode 1. Thanks for the entertainment."
Well, thank you very much for that comment. And we do appreciate it, though. But, you know, we decided that the recaps were just a little too labor intensive. So, you know, we're not going to do the recaps anymore.
No.
But, you know, we hope y'all still enjoy the format and everything. Okay, so let's get to it.
Let's get into it. What do you want to start with?
Well, let's start with stupid-ass Sookie. You know? Okay. Ooh, Lord, yeah, because let me get this done, and that way I can go on to more pleasant stuff. She got on my nerves. I think I sent a Twitter, a little tweet. Yeah, that's what you call it. A little tweet comment. This was some lazy-ass writing on the part of the writers of True Blood for Sookie. First of all, you know, just like you mentioned in our premiere episode, a lot of times, you know, they end the story where it looks like something's going to happen, and then when you come back, you know, it's nothing. Yeah. And that's the way this was. Eric wasn't going to bite her.
Right.
You know, but when that child marched her butt over to Bill's to complain about Eric, oh, I was too through. That is so ignorant. That is such lazy, lazy, lazy writing. They could have come up with a better way for her to find out he's the king of Louisiana. I mean, that was just stupid to me.
No, I mean...
Oh, please. I was so irritated. And, you know, because I do watch the episodes more than once, I fast-forwarded through that mess the second time
what?
I watched it. Yeah. It just irritated me so bad. And then when she was stopped by his security team and when they finally said, "Yeah, let her on through," and the one guy said, "Stand down," and she turned back, "Yeah, y'all, stand down." Oh, that was, you know, some 20-something wrote that crap. What you bet? Anyway.
I don't know about a 20-something, but
it was irritating to me. I was so irritated. Oh, it was
that didn't bother
awful.
Me because she's trying to figure out a way to get Eric off of her, get him away from her. So it didn't bother me at all.
That was so dumb. First of all,
the only thing that struck me about that scene was that when she went into the house,
yeah,
she immediately went upstairs.
Yeah,
I mean, we know that she knows where the bedroom is.
That's
and
true.
Where he would be. But to me, even though she does know and they've had history, now that they don't, you wouldn't immediately just start walking up the stairs.
No. First of all, when she first went into the house, first of all, she noticed that the house had been totally refurbished. And it looks really great on the outside and the inside. So
yeah.
I did like that. But first of all, when Sookie got into the house and she saw that the whole interior was so different... Don't you think as soon as she hit that damn door, front door, she would have said, "Bill, Bill, Bill, You know how she call him and stuff. But no, her ass went from the front door up the steps to the bedroom. I mean, come on. And then, of course, you know, Bill could have been all dressed and everything, but he wanted her to see that.
Yeah,
he wanted her to see that. I think so. You know, well, of course he did. Because when she first got on his property and he was screwing that other woman,
he knew,
he knew then.
Well, because she kind of had some fear when those guys busted up in front of her saying, "Who are you?"
Well,
with machine guns. So he felt her emotion, but yeah.
He would have felt her anyway.
The only
thing
that got me about that scene, Sookie doesn't bother me. I know a lot of people have been complaining about her.
And they need to do something with her.
She hasn't bothered me at all because I feel like the emotions that she's had, they're true to someone that's her first ever boyfriend and all the stuff that she's gone through and all the people that she's lost. She would maybe glom onto them a little bit more, but I didn't like the fact that she would just go on up the stairs.
Let me tell you why that was such lazy writing. Let me tell you why. And it was not true to character. And I don't like that shit when people do that. Last season, finale episode, when she found out all this lying and crap that Bill Compton had done that broke her heart. Who was the person that told her? Eric. Because Eric told her, "I know you're hurt, but I felt you had a right to know." So if nothing else, she would have known. And then to come back, find out she was gone for a whole year and she didn't realize that. And find out everybody done wrote her off like she was dead somewhere, except who? Eric. And he bought her house so he could be in the house with her, which is fine. But I mean, all of this, all that he has done to kind of help her along, and then she gonna go to Bill of all people to complain about who? Eric, the person who told her about all the damn lying Bill was doing. No, it don't make sense. It does not make sense to me. And the first thing I thought was this: somebody did not watch the season finale of season 3 before they wrote that damn scene, because that was just not true to character. That was just stupid. You know, that was just forgetting all that other stuff.
True.
I mean, it really bothered me. It really did. Oh, and let me tell you another thing bothered me.
We can tell.
Oh, but let me tell you. Hey, but they wrote Sookie bad the whole episode. Because let me tell you another stupid thing.
Okay.
She had the nerve, the actual nerve, to go into the ladies' room and question Jessica. Oh, that whole scene was stupid. And I was so glad, but I love Jessica, though. I was so glad Jessica told her, "This ain't got nothing to do with you." You know? And she went on back in there to chomp on that boy.
Well, no, she left the bathroom at that point.
She went back in that stall. Oh. Sookie left the bathroom. Jessica went back in that stall and said, "This don't have nothing to do with you or Hoyt." And she went back in that stall and started munching on that boy.
You know, as a friend, I would think that anybody would go and say, "Jessica, what you doing? Where's Hoyt? What y'all..." You know.
Well, first of all, this is why that scene didn't make sense to me. She's in the bathroom. She don't know who's in that stall. What was she going to do if it wasn't Jessica in there? There's other vampires in that club that might have been chomping on somebody in the ladies' room.
That's true.
I mean, come on now. You know? Oh, please. That just really irritated me. And then, of course, she got mad. Oh, she was going to no longer wait for Eric then, right? She's going to go leave and get in her car. Oh, Lord. I'm just too through. Anyway, okay.
Okay, can we move on from...
Yeah, that's my rant.
Your rant.
That's my rant.
Sookie.
Mm-hmm.
She did not bother me.
She bothers me.
I get your point about she wouldn't immediately go to Bill's house, but like one line that she said is, "Since you're the king or you control him, can't you get him to sell me my house back?" Or,
but she didn't know he was the king when she went over there.
No, she didn't.
So that don't even make
any
sense.
She did see Bill tell him to go back to Fantasia and him go.
Well, that's true, but she didn't know. She didn't know that at the time she marched over there.
That's true.
Oh, man. She's just getting on my nerves with this crap. But speaking of Bill, you know, the second time I watched that episode, it confirmed what I thought the very first time, and that is he sent Eric over to them witches on purpose to get him out the way.
You know, now that I don't know.
I think he did it. That's why he insisted Eric go do it. instead of Pam, because he said, I'll put Pam on it. No, you got to go. He insisted that Eric be the one to go. Mm-hmm. And then Eric says, okay, I'll go tonight. And then he gives him that little, that was funny. He gives him that little bow and says, Your Majesty. And he's twirling his little hands. That was so good. And then he just walked on off. And you could see him grinning, you know. Oh, man, that was
Eric
a good scene.
Eric is too cute.
Eric is too cute. But yeah, Bill did that on purpose. Because, wait a minute, when you look at that scene, go back and look at it again. When you look at that scene, when Bill first starts, he does that shifty lion-ass look. You know that shifty lion-ass uh-huh. look he gets when he's lying? That's what he did. And
that
said,
serious pretend?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Serious
he
look.
He is a shady dude. Oh, he's still doing shady shit. But one good thing about Bill, though, we got to find out the backstory of what happened with Sophie Ann, and then how he even got with the
now,
Vampire League.
I knew the only way he would have become king is if he had won that fight.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And since she was older than him, how else would he win that fight but cheating?
I told you he was going to cheat some kind of way. You know, whether he was going to stake her. Now, he didn't stake her, but kind of he did.
He had them other people do
it. He had them snipers do it.
And then when Nan Flanagan walked in, I was like,
What the hell?
Wasn't that cool, though?
Yep. We find out they was working together. That was a good scene, though. That was a good backstory scene. And then did you see her, though? Did you see Nan Flanagan's face when she was conferring the kingship onto Bill Compton? I mean, I don't know. She was just, I don't know. She was just like, this is something I got to do, but I don't really want to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was kind of like she was...
like gritting.
Yeah, she didn't have any other choice.
That's what I mean.
She didn't really want to work with him to kill the queen. But this is what she had to do to further. But you know, I think her point is she wants to, and what we saw back in the flashback is she wants to be more like Bill was, mainstream. Get their agenda across and be part of regular society. And that's what Bill's been trying to do, if we believe that part of him, which I think that part's true.
I think that part's true, too.
He doesn't want to always kill someone when he feeds, and he doesn't want to have to leave bodies everywhere. He wants to be in mainstream society.
Yeah, because if you notice, during that 1982 episode in London, that other child, his maker wasn't nowhere around.
Lorena.
What's her name? Lorena.
Well, yeah, because there was a period of time where they left. Remember in the 40s?
They separated. Yes, right. I know.
And so he didn't want to be that cruel, just killer. Mm-hmm. And I think they do have a mutual agenda. And so I think she was only too happy to let Sophie Ann get killed because Sophie Ann didn't care.
Well, Sophie Ann was a part of the old monarchy. And they want to do away with the old monarchy and have the Vampire League, the authority.
Rule, right.
Period.
Right.
And not this monarchy stuff.
Well, but, I mean, she could still crown Bill, the king.
But that's because they're still all working together.
Right.
See, that's because they're still all working together. Well, and because I think her agenda is, you know, they want to be mainstream, that's true, but they want to eventually be in... just like everybody else, they want to be in government, in all the little top echelons of society so they can control stuff. See, that's what they want. So, and that takes time.
And I think, too, that I'm sure the fact that Sophie Ann was the one actually selling the V blood in season 3.
Yep.
She was behind the whole...
She was making Eric do it.
Right. So that probably she probably was like, okay, yeah, sure, because she's doing shit we don't need to be doing, selling our own people, blood is life, you know, so we need to get on with her.
And I think she was ticked, too, because she knew that she don't know the reason, though, but she knew that Sophie Ann had sent, Bill back to his home territory to
get Sookie.
Procure Sookie.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But she didn't know why.
Yeah, and you saw that scene where she asked, well, what's so important? You really left her. Why? And he said...
He lied again.
Well, you know, there's no reason. We thought there was. I have no idea why she wanted me to do that anyway.
Yeah, and it turned out to be nothing. She's just a waitress. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Nan said, what'd she say? You better not be lying to me because you see what happened with Sophie Ann. So, you know, hopefully you're not telling me a lie. And he said something about, you know, he swears allegiance to the mm-hmm. authority and stuff. Yep. And Nan said, okay, you know. So, mm-hmm. And then... She, you know,
so that gives him a little piece of he is trying to look out for her. Mm.
He just doesn't want anybody else to know she is a fairy.
Well, he said that at the end of last season. Anyone who knows, he's gonna kill
because he wants her all to himself. Well, that's what the plan was. See, and you know, because Eric came and told her the truth. From day one, especially about the rat raise and all that shit. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, that kind of put a chink in it.
Now, it was funny seeing them flash back to the 80s and the hair. Oh, that was funny. And that, to me, was funny.
That po-punk dude.
And him being able to use his real accent, mm-hmm. or his real voice, let's say, quote, unquote. Mm-hmm. I like that part.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. I like that part.
Mm-hmm. So, on to the witches. Lafayette?
Yes, Lord.
I tell ya. So he's back in the fold.
Who?
Lafayette and Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I knew Jesus was, but...
Okay, now, sorry. Before we get to that, let's kind of a little bit chronological on the episode. Mm. When Sookie came back from the store and... She turned around and saw all those scenes from the fairies. That was freaking me out.
Why was she seeing the fairies chasing her? Maybe they was trying to get to her.
And then Tara was there.
Yeah, it was Tara sneaking up on her.
Mm-hmm. Running up on her. Mm-hmm. Saying, oh, hey. Now, to me, okay, this is my issue with this episode. To me, it was strange that Tara was back so quick.
Yeah.
Because in the first episode, she was telling her girlfriend, Naomi, I'll just send flowers. I'm not going to go.
Well, I took it like Naomi probably induced her to go. That's the way I took that.
Could be.
Because when she called Naomi, Naomi was the one saying, well, you know, I know it's probably dull there and everything, you know, after the funeral and stuff. So I think she kind of induced her to go back. For the funeral, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I think that
still,
was.
It still jarred me a little that she was there so quick and she was all smiles and running up and happy and grinning and I don't know.
Well, but she's different though. I'm telling you, she's just like Sam.
So her running up on Sookie and you know, being happy to see mm-hmm. her, that was cute to see. It was just a little strange that it was so quick. I thought it might go a little bit longer from her deciding not to, you know. And then she actually told her the truth in New Orleans.
Yeah. But that's because I didn't have a problem with that because I felt like that's because Sookie is her childhood friend. You know what I mean? Sookie, and she really thought she was dead.
True.
She thought she was dead. Yeah. You know. And then when Sookie, I think Sookie will eventually tell Tara what it was, when she can tell other people too, mm-hmm. you know. And then it's going to make sense to them because, you know, it felt like a day to, or a couple of hours to Sookie. See, but it was a year and a half, actually. So, you know.
And then them going into the house, that was cute. And then we're getting ready to...
Well, now.
They were going to get ready to reminisce on what all's been going on with Tara.
Sookie, once again, was getting on my nerves. She looked in the fridge, and there was nothing but blood in there. She's talking about frat boy. And she poured the blood. This is what was stupid. She poured the blood out in the sink. Didn't run no water down it, nothing. You know you wouldn't have just poured that blood and left that red-ass blood in the sink to stain it up. You would not have done that.
First of all, she don't care. That sink is new. That old sink, she wouldn't have cared about no stains.
Anyway.
And she's trying to get back to Tara.
Yeah, I know, but still.
Then when she went into the, the den or something, and mm-hmm. she saw that big cabinet.
Mm-hmm. It looked like an armoire.
That part to me was funny. When she opened it up and said, motherfucker, he done made him a cubby. I like that part.
Yeah, now that was pretty good.
And then Tara was like, well, I guess you got to go, huh? She's like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to go. So, and that's when she decided to go see Eric to say, look, fool. And that was reinforced.
No, that's when she decided to go see Pam. Because she went there to see Pam to solicit Pam's help in helping her with Eric. And Pam told her, I don't know why you think I would be taking your side. He's my maker. Yep. You know, Pam was looking too tough, too.
Wasn't she?
Ooh, she was looking too fine. And when she was telling Sookie, what she was telling
Sookie.
In that
red outfit.
Oh, yeah. But what she was telling her was exactly true. Well, you better belong to somebody because as soon as they get a whiff of you.
They're going to be on you.
They're going to drain you, girl.
Yeah.
So you might as well have some protection. Eric's rich. He's handsome. And he actually does care about you. And the look on her face when she said, and he actually does care about you.
Like,
you know,
I don't know how.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Still.
You know. So, but she was, and see, that's what you call foreshadowing. Uh-huh. Because she's telling the truth.
Yep.
I mean, you know. And then Sookie's just standing there like, Well, I don't need nobody.
It's Jay.
Oh, please. She get on my nerves. Yeah, let's get off of her.
Yeah, well, I can't even mention nothing about her without you going off.
Anyway.
Goodness.
Anyway.
I liked that scene when she found the cubbyhole and Tara. Then we get to see Tara going to see Lafayette and Jesus, which I like that part, too.
I did, too.
And and them getting ready to go to their seance or whatever they called it, their meeting. And
she said, oh, you're a Wiccan now. I like that.
That was cute.
And he said, come on, hooker. Come on with us or something. He always called her bitch or hooker. So she goes to the little seance meeting with him.
Yeah.
She's just sitting behind them reading the paper or something, but she keeps making comments.
Which is, that's more her character.
Yeah, it is. She says,
that's more the Tara that we know.
You know what? I agree with Tara, though, because Holly was the one doing all this talking about Marnie's so appreciative of everybody, you know, coming together and stuff. And so Tara said to Lafayette, well, if Marnie's so appreciative, how come she don't talk? And he said, bitch, hush up. You a visitor.
Honey, Marnie was doing her little weird act.
Well, she wasn't weird yet, though. Not yet. Not until. And so, you know, somebody said, ooh, that was exciting making that bird come up. What are we going to do next? And she said, we're going to raise a person.
Body.
No, she said a person. A person. And I do like Hazel. He says, what the hell?
I thought it was Lafayette that said, what the hell?
No, that was
Hazel. Where are we going to get a body at?
That's when Eric busts in. Somebody need a body. Oh,
that
Lord.
Part was good too. When
that
he
was
came
good.
In, he was looking all suave and stuff. And he's so cocky, and I don't understand why. Because I guess he just didn't have many dealings with witches to know
I think he did because when Bill mentioned their necromancers, and he says, "Oh, you forget I was around during the Spanish Inquisition." See, because they burned up a whole bunch.
He felt awful comfortable to me.
Well, if they wouldn't have if Lafayette would not have joined that circle, he was going to kill her.
Yeah.
I mean, she was good as dead. Because he bit her. He grabbed her. He is so fast. He grabbed her. And as you see, when Tara got that wooden cross and was going to stab him, he was
on quick. Her. Look at he split.
He was quick. You know. So, yeah.
Well, when he came in and he was about and he grabbed Marnie and Holly and all the rest of them said, "Oh, no, let's join
him." Yeah, she said, "Okay,
that
spirits
part,
of the night, and start doing
like,
this chant." And I thought,
shit.
"Oh Lord, here
Eric,
we go."
You're in for it now.
And then see, he's preoccupied with Tara because he said,
"Oh." And then when he grabbed Tara up,
here?
I was like, "Okay, now look, wait, now I like you, Eric, but you no,
I know
you done gone too far now."
Well, but she was trying to stake him, though.
Well, yeah.
So he had to grab her, but that's what did it for Lafayette because Lafayette didn't want no part of it because he knows
he put
Eric
his hands
is
together
powerful.
And they all got it.
Well, they did was they called the spirit.
Do you now? I can't remember now. Did Marnie join in after he dropped her?
This is what happened. When he grabbed Tara, Lafayette was already backing up almost to the door, and he went, "Oh hell no!" And he grabbed hands. Right. And that's when everybody, that's when all the power started. And what happened was they called this spirit. And this spirit said, well, Marnie stood up then. And she had these kind of like gold eyes. And she stood up and she looked at Eric. And see, Eric was already looking funny because he knew. He knew what was coming because it got dark in the room. It was windy and everything. And she said, I am. And she said something, Espirito something.
In Latin, but she said, yeah.
Yeah, but she said something about molester or something like that. And I thought, oh, shit, she ready to jack him up. You know? And then that spirit started doing that chant, which was making a spell.
Right, right. We don't need to go into that detail, but I'm just saying, I couldn't remember if she started chanting too, but yes, she did.
Well, because then, she's the spirit.
Okay.
She don't even know she's doing it.
Right. Well, she acts like she don't know.
She always says, what happened?
I know.
Afterwards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think she knows. I think she's just playing.
Yeah, could be. But I felt bad for Eric, though.
And then that look on his face like, what? Where am I?
Mm-hmm. She jacked him up.
She jacked him.
They put a spell on him.
They put a root on him.
Uh-huh. And even Lafayette, what? What happened? I think he is really, really surprised. And I think in the episode, for the next episode, I think Lafayette finds out that Eric is tranced or something.
I don't think they'll even know unless Marnie says, well, that spell that we put on him.
No, Sookie's going to mention it to him at Merlot's. You watch.
Well, I don't think so. Based on the story that I know of.
Yeah, but he ain't following the book. I don't know why you book readers keep doing that.
Because this is part of the book.
Yeah, well, so it's part of the book, but that man is not following all the book.
Well, in this scene, this part of it, she won't be telling people about this issue.
Okay.
Because why would she need to?
Who knows?
She doesn't know where he's been.
That's true.
She finds him on the side of the road. He don't even know what the hell he is.
Well, that's what I said. In the next episode, she's going to realize.
Oh, no, I doubt it.
That he don't have no memory or nothing.
I doubt it. Well, yeah, but I don't think she's going to put it together. Mm. You know, and I highly doubt that Lafayette or anybody else is going to be running around town going, ooh, yeah, we cast a spell.
Tara going to tell her.
No, mm-hmm. Tara ain't going to say shit either.
Tara going to tell her.
No.
You watch.
No, I think Tara's going to run back to New Orleans.
I think she'll go back to New Orleans, yeah. And rightly so, too.
She ain't going to be talking about all that stuff to nobody, I don't think, at all.
Okay.
So, yeah, we find him on the side of the road, and he's looking all startled, but he looked good without his shirt on.
Yeah,
hello.
He was looking good, but I felt bad for him, though. I felt real bad for him.
Take it off.
They jacked him up. I mean.
Take it off. Mm-hmm.
But I think Bill sent him there on purpose.
Well, that's a good, interesting theory.
Yeah.
Now, I only watched the show. I could only watch it once because I got busy with other things. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think of that at first. I didn't even think about him maybe sending Eric on purpose.
Oh, yeah. He did that on purpose. Mm-hmm. He did on purpose. Anyway, okay, let's move on to somebody else. Let's talk about Andy. Well, all them ugly ass people in Hot Shot.
Ooh.
Oh, they so nasty. It opens up they done chained Jason to the bed.
I'm tired of Hot Shot. I'm tired of it.
Oh, they're
I'm
nasty.
I'm tired of looking at these nasty,
nasty people.
Trashy ass people. I'm tired of how they talk.
Timbo, Jim Bob, whatever.
How they
look,
the whole storyline is ridiculous. It's just too much.
Well.
It's just too much. And then, yeah, so we get to Hot Shot. Mm-hmm. Jason's tied up.
On the bed.
Brother, cousin, whoever.
Is licking his head.
Licking him upside
his
head.
His name is Timbo.
Oh, that's just nasty.
And he says, well,
really had to avert my gaze on
you
these
got
things.
A gash on top of your head. And he said, yeah, but I'm a Band-Aid kind of guy. And this Timbo, we ain't got no Band-Aids.
No, I'm just tired.
Oh,
this
God.
Is my rant on True Blood is the Hot Shot area. Mm-hmm. We get it. We know they're supposed to be trashy backwoods inbred people.
They some trashy
And they
ass.
Keep slamming that into our face every time. Mm-hmm. We get it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that whole, how they're doing this part of the story, to me, is just, I don't like it.
And I certainly don't like that Crystal girl. And it's such a stupid idea what they're doing anyway. Oh, we got a way to make us be together forever. I know what, we gonna bite you as a leopard, and what, you gonna be a leopard too? I don't think so, people. You know, he's already grown ass, y'all. That might work for a little kid, you know what I'm saying?
Well, in the theory of the books, he will not be a full leopard. But
because he already a grown ass up.
Well,
you know,
because you have to be born.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a born trait. And what they don't explain either in the TV show is that it's not every person in the family that has it. It's like the firstborn, whatever.
Like whether it's a boy or a girl.
Boy or girl.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so it's not every child, if you have a family of three kids.
Right.
Maybe just the first one will turn or, you know, shift like that.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, they need to do a better job of explaining that then.
And they're not shifters. They're called werepanthers.
Yeah.
And so they're totally different than shifters. And so they, you know, in the books at least, they're totally different species, race, or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And they don't quite like shifters. And shifters don't like them.
Well, we kind of got that.
Same with the werewolves, too. Mm-hmm. That, you know, same kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Shifters don't like werewolves, and werewolves don't like shifters.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just a totally different thing, but they don't quite explain that. And yes, they do kind of inbreed to keep the bloodline. Like that part was true, but I don't like how they're making this story where Felton comes back. And when I first saw Felton didn't look like the same Felton.
Yeah,
to me.
You kept saying that. It's the same guy. Got the same credit on there, so, you know.
And Crystal looked even worse than
she
did last year.
Oh, she is skanky anyway. You talk about some trash looking. She fit that part.
They wanted to make them all look like
that. Oh, she is trashy. But man, when Andy come up in there, oh my goodness.
Now let's go to there. That scene to me was actually kind of good.
That was good though.
Because when Andy got there and that Timbo Jimbo, whatever his name is, ran
Timbo.
Out. And Felton was trying to hide, or the old man ran out, whoever. And Felton was trying to hide because he didn't want to be caught. And he noticed the shaking and Andy's mannerisms.
Twitching.
And he had the same twitches and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that scene to me was kind of good.
That was good. And especially when he told the old man, come here and take this out to Andy. Shall I tell him it's from you? He said, no, you stupid ass dummy. Don't tell him it's from me. Oh, I was dying.
See,
poor little old guy.
Poor guy. But that's another thing they keep slamming it home to us.
I know.
But these people are uneducated and backwoods and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like that whole...
Well, the only part of that whole hotshot thing that bothered me, I thought it was very disturbing. The very final scene where the camera was like above Jason and you saw those two panthers biting him.
Yeah.
That was just disturbing to me. That was a little much for me. I mean, I did watch it, though, but I just thought it was, I thought it was a little unnerving.
I think it's because they were fake, and so they were kind of make their heads look like they were.
Well, but they was chomping, though. They was chomping, and he was screaming, you know, so.
Poor Jason.
I know. Poor Jason. But, you know, but Andy had me dying. Talk about, I'm going to take this for evidence. But you pointed out too earlier that by that conversation, then we know that Andy did use all that V from a year ago, because he said a year ago, you know, when we got that V from here and stuff. So he had used all that up.
And then that reminds me of the scene with Hoyt and Jessica, where Hoyt was hurt or something, and she told him,
well. First, it started where they was coming out of Fantasia like the day before.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
And those
guys,
protesters was there talking about, Steve Newland's right. Your vampires of, your devils of the night. That's what the chant they were. Ah, they kept chanting that over and over and over. And then
and
he had
got head up. So he's like, well, I'm going to take care of it. He says, y'all ain't acting like Christian Lee to me.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets hurt. And Jessica immediately wants to give him some blood. And he's like, no. I do not want to get hooked on that stuff.
What he says. He says, I don't want that shit. And then she says,
shit, what you talking about?
What are you talking about, that shit? That shit is my blood. Oh, man, that scene was good, though. She was hot. She was mad.
She was just itching to fight so she could leave.
Yeah, but she was
that's
mad.
That's what she wanted. She mm-hmm. was doing that on purpose so she could get up out of there.
So when he finally gave her the keys,
I mean, it's true. I mean, if you're drinking blood from him to heal, mm-hmm. you're going to get them side effects.
Yep.
And they've never really showed us anyone, like, they never showed us Sookie having really any side effects of having those dreams.
But that's because she's a fairy.
Well.
Hoyt ain't no fairy.
But we've never seen Hoyt have any side effects from that first time when Tommy bit him and his mm-hmm. arm was jacked up. Mm-hmm. They've never shown us anyone else besides the druggy people mm-hmm. with the side effects. So.
That's true.
I guess they're, I don't know. They just
but that's because the druggy people are addicts. Hoyt wasn't an addict. She gave him his blood to heal him,
right.
to heal his arm. And she wanted to give him her blood to heal him, heal the black eye and stuff, because that is a side effect.
Well, but still, what I'm saying is mm-hmm. all these people who have taken the blood, like Tara, had the blood. She got stronger.
Yep.
Sookie had the blood. She had a little bit more strength and healed. Hoyt, I mean, they've never shown
yeah.
any of our main characters with the addiction symptoms that Andy is showing, but he's been on it longer term. Amy was on it longer term.
Right. Well, and he's taking it as a drug. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, like, he's taking it every day as a drug.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's why, at least that's what I took it anyway.
Okay.
That's where I took it. But, yeah, that hot shot stuff got to go.
It has
got to
go. It is mm-hmm. gross. Okay, now, we haven't talked about Sam yet.
I was just going to say, what about Sam?
Sam and
you
Tommy.
Know what? I'm liking Sam with this Luna woman. I like them together. I like her.
Luna was kind of freaky to me, though.
Oh, I like her. I didn't think she was freaky at all.
I like her, too, but she was just odd acting. Okay, we get it. She's odd acting for a reason. But she was odd acting that night when he was trying to get close to her, when they were running off
his
horses. And then when she ran off, fine. The next day, she just so happens to appear in his office waiting for him.
Well,
to me, that was a little odd.
But see, I didn't think it was stalkerish or nothing because she wanted to apologize because she realized that he really does, you know, probably care about her. They're all part of a group that they sit and talk with one another, all four of those and stuff. And she did say that she was going to try to start letting people in, you know.
But my thing is, come through the front of Merlot's. Why you got to be in the, just all of a sudden appear in the office? That's my part about it.
Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Or my point about it.
You know what? I didn't even trip on that part. I didn't even give
but
it a thought.
But then we find out she is a skinwalker.
Yep. Which means she can change into people.
Yep.
So maybe she changed into Sookie or something and got in there.
No. Now, I think that's going to be interesting is how did they do it? Do they have to touch someone? If they just have to see someone? How, you know, can they just shift into anyone they want by looking at them? Or do they have to get a piece of hair or something from them?
That'd be interesting to find out.
Yeah.
I thought her backstory of why she is a skinwalker was very interesting.
That was.
That blonde chick had me dying talking about, I thought she was Mexican. She said, yeah, I am on my mother's side, but my father's Navajo, and I was raised on the Navajo Nation, you know.
Yeah.
But that just
cracked
tickled
me.
Mm-hmm. I thought she's Mexican.
That was funny.
Oh, Lord have mercy. That was funny.
So, Sam... And, well, Luna tells them all about her past, and it seems to fascinate everybody, not, like, repel them, even though I think she was feeling depressed about it.
Yeah, she was feeling depressed because, I mean, well, we find out that, you know, her mother died in childbirth. And so, you know, she's never met her mother.
Right.
But when she first realized that she was a so-called skinwalker, and she explained to them a skinwalker was supposed to be like a witch who could transform or shift into any animal. And so they said, well, yeah, that's like a shifter. She said, no. people too.
Right.
You know. And so then she told them about how her mother died giving birth to her. And in order to be the legend goes, in order to be a skinwalker, you have to
kill
a member of your family.
Right. Which she didn't do on purpose.
No.
But it just so happened.
Right. So.
To happen.
So I think that's going to give Sam some food for thought with Tommy.
With Tommy.
So he could. Because Sam, even though.
But I think.
He was saying to her, oh man, that's kind of rough. But he was fascinated though.
But that, to me, you have to have more than just killing someone in your family. You have to have that, some kind of other something in your blood, I would think.
That ain't what she said.
That's true, but still.
That's not what she said.
I can't think that any just random shifter could do it.
Yeah,
but.
Well, I mean, I'm sure we're going to find out.
Yeah, we'll find out.
We'll find out. So that was her backstory. So at least, you know, so to me, looking back on her other viewings that we saw her in the episode, it didn't bother me at all that she had just showed up in Sam's office, because I think she really is trying to make a connection. You know, she's really trying to open up.
Yeah, well.
Mm-hmm. Of course, so did Daphne too, didn't she?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while after she tells them that, they all hear something shift moving in the woods,
mm-hmm.
and Sam runs over.
Well, they smell it.
Yeah, and Sam runs, and it's Tommy.
Mm-hmm. That was a good scene.
That
where Tommy transformed into that bird, and Sam transformed into a bigger bird.
Yeah.
Yeah, was chasing. Oh, that was good.
That was good.
That was very good.
Hey, but it was kind of sad because Tommy was like, look, I want us to be a family again, and be, you know, together and talk.
Mm.
And first he's like, I thought she was actually going to therapy.
Yeah.
Or anger management classes.
He said, well, that's what it's like for me. You know,
yeah.
That's my anger management
yeah.
for me. Which I agree with
well,
Sam.
Well, I hope that doesn't mean that Sam will try to kill Tommy to get that.
Yeah, I hope not either. Because I do like Tommy's character. But we got to find out a couple things about that. We still don't know how did Tommy latch on to Maxine Fortenberry, or vice versa.
We don't, yes.
But we now know Tommy's leg is not hurt like he said.
No, he was running, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was running.
We said that, though. Mm-hmm. I said that last time.
So he's wearing that brace just for the effect of it.
Right.
For the town folks.
Exactly.
See? Uh-huh. So, you know, that's kind of bogus.
Jacked.
Yeah. That's kind of bad, but anyway, and because Sam's telling him, boy, look, you living all high on the hog over at Maxine Fortenberry's house. And what did Tommy say? He said, I don't even want to be there. Mm-hmm. So
I told you that.
Yeah.
I told you he was only doing it so that he could live off of her.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have nowhere else to go. His parents is gone. We don't even know where the Mickens are.
Yeah, we don't know where they are.
Sam is pissed because he stole his money and shot him.
Mm-hmm.
So Sam's not going to be welcoming him in the house anytime soon. Where else he going to go?
That's true.
He can't read, so he can't really get a real job.
Yeah, that's true.
So why not?
Yeah, that's
you know?
True.
Okay, so I think the last people we need to talk about is Terry and Arlene. Baby Mike.
Oh, that little baby is so cute.
They have the cutest baby.
Oh, they find the cutest babies for these shows.
They do.
Oh, he is just a precious little thing.
Terry wearing that little, whatever the harness.
Yeah, the little harness for the baby.
So cute.
Wasn't that cute? And when Sookie saw the baby, you know, to me, she reacted just like any other person would. You
with
know,
the new
she,
baby.
Yeah, she was playing with the baby and everything. And she says, it was so funny when she said something about.
He looks just like your mama.
Yeah. And she said, let me see something like.
No, Arlene said, do you pick up anything from him?
No, she said, can you hear him?
Oh, you can't hear babies.
Yeah. Babies don't form no words.
Yeah.
But he's an old soul. Oh, Arlene. No, he's not. He's brand new. Oh, she is a trip.
She's freaking out.
She's freaking out.
If that was the case, then she should have given him up.
Yep.
You know. But What about when they went to the back and she's staring at the baby and the baby's staring at her and her eye
pop, her blood vessel pop,
pops in her
she
eye.
Claims the baby did that to her. I don't know about that.
Who else was going
to
do it?
I don't think anybody did it to her. I think it's just her.
Oh, no.
You know?
The baby said something because she acting crazy against that baby.
Yeah, she
now,
is.
Look, if you know you have a devil baby...
Yeah, she was calling him a devil baby.
Better treat your devil baby right. And, is he going
to
get you?
And she said, he did this to me. He did this to my eye. He's just rotten to the core. Oh, it was so cute when Terry says, she says, he's just rotten to the core, just like his daddy. And when Terry says, I'm your daddy and you're not rotten to the core or something like that. Oh,
that was
it was
cute.
So cute.
And the way that baby was just sitting there looking like,
oh. I know. Oh, he was so sweet. But Arlene better get a grip, though.
She don't have to.
She better get a grip on it.
You can't. I mean, first of all, if he is devilly, he's going to get your ass. Because you need to learn how to play that shit off.
Oh, yeah. She's going to make herself crazy, though.
And if he ain't devilly, yeah, pretty soon they're going to have her ass locked up somewhere.
Yeah, she's going to make herself crazy. She going to be next door to Ruby Jean.
No, because they ain't got no money for that.
Well, that's true. Oh, yeah. That's true. That's true.
It was a good episode.
Yeah,
though.
That was a very good episode. So I'm anxious, you know, for the next one.
Me too.
But I'm always anxious for the next one. So, and I don't watch the HBO To Go thing. So, you know, I always wait for the next episode.
Well, you can't. I mean, that was just a one-time thing. They haven't They just had that one that was early. They haven't had any other ones.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, because I just soon wait anyway.
That started out early.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Well, some pretty good feedback.
Okay, cool. This is email time, right?
Email time.
Okay.
Okay, let me get to the first one.
Okay.
This is from Terry.
Hey, Terry.
She says, oh, wait a minute.
What'd you do?
Okay, here it is. She says, well, I watched episode 2 and really enjoyed it. I bounced right back from my cranky reaction to episode 1. She was one last week that said that she just couldn't get past, you know, she didn't like the first one. It was boring to her, flat. She says, the whole witch-vampire conflict is suspenseful and scary. Yeah. I love it. And the interaction between Eric and Sookie is always good. Now I think it is a really interesting situation that Eric seems to have amnesia, and Sookie has also been away from Bonpont for over a year. So in a sense, both of them are kind of in the dark about what is going on. I just love the possibilities. Mm-hmm. I also love that the witch-vampire conflict has Lala right in the middle of the action. I have not made up my mind about Jesus. Can't decide if he is just super excited and enthusiastic about the magic stuff, or is he being way too bossy and pushy as far as Lala goes.
Yep.
Hey, Jesus, let Lafayette make his own damn decisions. I like the background on Bill. The British punk scene was awesome. And just when we really start to loathe Bill and his shifty-eyed ways, we find out that he tried to protect Sookie by telling Nan that Sookie was nothing special. Mm-hmm. The hotshot crowd continues to disgust me. Mm-hmm. They might as well have banjo music in the background. What was Jason thinking getting involved with that trashy outfit? Miss mm-hmm. Crystal has no appeal as far as I'm concerned. And no chin crumples for Tara so far, thank heavens. Looking forward to your next podcast, Terry.
Well, thank you, Terry, for that email. And, you know, I kind of disagree about the Bill comment. I think Bill is being way shifty. I don't think he didn't tell Nan Flanagan about Sookie to protect Sookie. I think it's because exactly like Eric told her in the season finale last year, and that is Bill wanted Sookie all to himself. All to himself. So I don't really look at like he's trying to protect her.
Well,
I don't think so.
I think he is trying to protect Sookie because he still has love for her.
Well, that's true, but I don't think it has.
He has his own agenda somewhere.
Yeah.
And
we
don't know what that is yet.
Yeah.
And we know that even him loving her mm-hmm. didn't stop him from working with Sophie Ann and the King and everybody else to try to. That wanted to get to her. Although he did, you know, try to protect her at the end, but still he got her in that situation.
Yep.
So.
He's not right.
No.
Yeah.
No. What he should have done is when he started getting feelings for her, he should have said, you know, I came here, you know, I had other reasons for coming back to Bon Temps and blah, blah, blah. He could have figured out a way to.
But now we see that he couldn't do that because he was working with Nan Flanagan all along.
I guess.
So he couldn't have done that.
I guess not.
You know, so. But anyway, okay. Thank you for the email.
Thank you. Our next one is from Paris.
Hey, Paris.
Hey again, sisters. Let me just say that I hope you ladies had a wonderful holiday weekend and forth. To Sister K, I'm flattered that you like my name and that I share it with your dog. Too funny. Mm-hmm. Now on to the good stuff. I have to start by saying I watched this one 3 times in one night. I loved it so much, and I watched it again once with my brother. Only the 2nd episode, and I am enjoying every storyline the way I did with season 1, even Hot Shot. Now, when Jason woke up to see Timbo licking his head gashed, I almost died laughing. I know I was supposed to be feeling sorry for Jason, but something about that weird little werepanther just oozes pitiful. Mm. I have a feeling Timbo might choose to help Jason in the end. Mm-hmm. I think we all knew Felton was behind it, but when we found out why, it was pretty clear Jason was going to be messed up. Speaking of which, Crystal has made the jump from willing victim to crazy conspirator since we saw her last. I know I didn't like that girl for a reason. Poor Jason. On to shifters. Is it just me, or have they really improved the shifting effects?
Yep.
I love the story that Luna told the group about the skinwalkers. Mm-hmm. Who else thinks Sam will try to off Tommy for more power?
Told ya.
Yep.
I think so too, Paris. I think so too.
You did. And I must have been slow because I didn't think that at first. He goes on to say, I fell in love with Tara all over again. Seeing her happy with Suki and then Lala and Jesus was so refreshing.
Yeah.
I loved her reaction to Marnie wanting to bring back a person. I would have been up out that door too. I kid you not. On the subject of the witches, it seems their power grows as soon as Lafayette joins in to save Tara. Whoever they helped Marnie channel this time was not effing around. Poor Eric. I think Pam summed it up in her line of the year. A shame he pulls good stying. Mm-hmm. I'm loving her role as the new auntie mentor to Jessica.
Yeah.
That girl is headed for some major trouble in her relationship. Lastly, the biggest surprise for me was learning just how deep and interwoven Bill's double cross is tied to the AVL.
Yep.
And Nan. Me too.
Uh-huh.
Sophie Ann never stood a chance against his cheating ass. Mm-hmm. We got shirtless amnesiac Eric, delicious Pam, vamp witch conspiracy, crazy Arlene, and all around great storylines and character development. Suki didn't even bother me this episode. Probably because they didn't have her holed up crying in that kitchen. I hope every episode this season will be as good as this one. P.S. Baby Mikey is too cute.
I know.
Can't wait to hear from y'all soon. Thanks, sisters.
Well, thank you, Paris, for that email. And I agree, though. Yeah. You know what, though? I guess it's because I'm so irritated with Suki that, you know, she irritated me this episode. But I do agree with your comment that they are developing the other characters so well that, yeah, you can just overlook her, you know, and find all the other ones so entertaining.
Yes, of course. And hey, Paris, like it again, like a name.
Yeah.
Okay, our next email is from Mr. J.
Hey, Mr. J.
He says, hey, sisters, Mr. J here. Sorry it's been so long since I last wrote you. I have been listening to all your podcasts, though, and now that work has calmed down a bit, I thought I would drop you a line or two. True Blood season 4. Wow. They sure got that fairy crap dealt with right off the bat.
They sure did.
I'm glad they weren't all ball gowns and bare chests. It's nice to know there's something a little more substantial going on there. I kind of hope they drop that story for a while. I thought it was lame last season, and even though they turned out to be crazy, I still kind of feel like it's lame. I trust Alan Ball, though. He will turn it out. I guess I will do this by character like I usually do. So here are 2 weeks worth of thoughts for you.
Okay.
Tara. I guess I mean Tony. Wow.
Yeah.
Tara got her groove back and now she's a lesbian. All right then. It was nice to see her kickboxing, but I was a little disappointed that as soon as she got back to Bon Temps, she let Eric get the better of her. What? I saw her beating down that chick in the episode before. She could have hooked it up a little better than that. If I see her chin quiver one time this season, I swear I will be done with her. Bravo on the new hair, though. It's way cuter than that ugly-ass wig she was wearing last season.
I agree.
Bill. King Bill? He killed Sophie Ann? He and Nan were in on it for years? What? It definitely makes him cooler, but no matter what, he will always be sort of a stick in the mud. He's still infinitely boring. Mm-hmm. I don't think Bill's boring, though.
Well, he's a little boring.
He's a liar, but he ain't boring. I don't know. Eric, they took his memory. I was very excited to see how this whole thing plays out. I know how the books worked, but the show is so far from the reservation now. I have no idea what they will end up doing.
Yep.
I'm excited to see what happens next. It will be nice to see him as a less confident character for a while.
Yeah, maybe.
Jessica Hoyt, Trouble in Paradise. I think this is way more to do with the fact that she's only 17 or 18 and he's 27 or 28. I love them together, but that age difference, particularly teenager to grown-ass man, is going to be a huge barrier to overcome. Jason and Hoyt, Jason and the hotshot trash.
Mm.
Sorry, I know y'all don't like that term, but they just seem to get worse and worse.
Oh, no.
Nasty.
Yeah, we call them trash, too.
Mm-hmm. They are. I respect the fact that he didn't run away from them over the year jump, but goodness. That boy was licking his face. Ew. I guess we're going to be a werepanther now. Mm. I feel kind of bad for him. I wonder how Sookie will react. By the way, Crystal is gross.
Gross.
Marnie, what an awesome new character. Mm-hmm. Fiona Shaw is going to make an excellent new villain. She is my number one reason to watch True Blood this season. I can't wait to see more.
She's very good.
She's really good. She'd be freaking me out. She does. Lafayette Jesus. I still don't trust Jesus as far as I can throw him.
See?
But he looks way cuter without the facial hair. I hope Lala doesn't get too caught up in all this witchcraft, and I would love to see some attitude. We get little glimpses, but I'm in dire need of another Aidsburger type speech.
Oh, yeah.
I'm afraid they're going to turn him into a whiny character like they did with Tara last season. I want strong Tara and Lafayette back.
I agree
with that.
Yep.
But I don't know if we'll see that from Tara because she's trying to change.
Right.
But Lafayette, we need him being more sassy and combative. Sookie, a year gone in the fairyland and now everything has changed. I haven't really seen enough character from her to comment. That seems odd, huh? I suspect the Eric problem will be where we get to see more of who she is. I hope so. I certainly hope she becomes more interesting. Otherwise, as far as I'm concerned, she can just hang with Bill in the newly renovated Compton Mansion, and we can watch all the other more interesting characters.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. We knew you would agree.
Yes, Lord.
Arlene Terry, baby evil. Is that child really evil?
No.
Is it bad that I hope he is? I think it would be so cool to see an evil baby wreak havoc everywhere. Poor Terry. He seems so overwhelmed. I hope things get better for him. Arlene is hilarious as usual.
Yep.
Okay, that's it for now. I hope y'all had a great 4th of July and that you're doing well. Till next week, Mr. J from Brooklyn.
Well, thank you, Mr. J, for that long email. We loved it. And I kind of agree with your comments on each of the characters, though. And I agree, too. Unless they do something with Sookie this season, yeah, I mean, you can just overlook her and focus on the other characters because they're doing some good stuff with the other characters this season. And I love the new Witch Marnie. Yeah, I think she is awesome. Yeah, she's going to be very, very formidable.
I like Marnie, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, she's not like my favorite character.
No.
But like King Russell was last season.
Yeah, I love King Russell.
She's pretty good. We don't get enough of her. I mean, we see her for a couple minutes here
we
and there.
We might start getting more of her, though.
We might, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. J.
Yeah.
Good to hear from you.
Good to hear.
Okay, our next email is from Pam.
Hey, Pam.
She says, hey, Sister J and Sister K. I liked the first episode of True Blood only towards the very end when Eric told Sookie that he owned her house. Eric Northam is my favorite character. Pam and Lafayette are my second and third favorite characters. I like the second episode only because of the Eric and Pam scenes. Mm-hmm. I am dying to see the third episode. I want to see the third episode now laugh out loud. Eventually, HBO To Go will have the third episode online. I hate to admit this, but I am really bored and annoyed with the silly witch storyline with Lafayette and the storyline of having Tara turn into a lesbian cage fighter. Really, Tara, a lesbian cage fighter? To me, it just seemed like a tired cliche and a total cop-out. I just get the strong impression that they do not know what else they can do with Tara. I really like the brief romantic pairing of Sam and Tara from the third season. It is a real shame that they, the powers that be, a.k.a. Alan Ball, did not continue that. I thought that Sam's loving, patient, and caring personality, it would give Tara a chance to heal and grow stronger from the crazy mess that she went through with Eggs and Franklin. I think that the romantic pairing between Tara and Sam was a missed opportunity to develop something with good potential. I hope you have a great week. Sincerely, Pam.
Well, thank you, Pam, for that email. And, you know, I don't know why everybody keeps saying, oh, now Tara's a lesbian. I don't think that's what they're trying to say at all. So now she's with a woman. If anything, she would be bisexual. But that's not a lesbian. A lesbian has only women partners.
Well,
you know?
But look, Sister J, I have friends who are lesbians now, but they have been with men because they didn't know in their earlier life that they were lesbian.
Trust me.
So they don't consider themselves bisexual. They consider themselves lesbians.
Well, in Tara's character, she is not lesbian. She will go back to a dude. But I don't see why people are having a problem with it. It makes perfect sense considering all that she had been through. To me, it made perfect sense.
Well, I don't consider it...
And I don't see where it's diminishing her or anything like that.
I don't consider it something that she's had to go through to make her that... To have her become a lesbian. It's just part of her transforming herself, in my opinion, and becoming a totally different person than she was.
That's true.
So, regardless of who she fought with or who she had bad experiences with, she's trying to change her whole persona, her whole ideal as a person, and that's how she's mm-hmm. gone to that realm, or that, not realm, but she's kind of changed her whole self.
Right.
But I don't consider it having anything to do with her previous experiences or anything.
I do.
But
okay. I think so.
Good. Thank you, Pam. I don't mind it. It doesn't bother me in the story.
Yeah, it didn't bother me at all.
I like that they've changed her, but I hope they don't change her too much. I want the sassy Tara back.
Well, it was at the Wiccan meeting. She was saying her same old stuff like she used to.
She was.
You know, so.
Thanks, Pam. Okay, our next email is from Ivern.
Hey, Ivern.
Hello, sisters. I just want to say I am so happy you are back. I look forward to your podcast all the time for True Blood. I so enjoyed your podcast last Sunday. I'm waiting breathlessly for the next podcast for episode 2. Listening to the two of you, whether you agree or disagree with each other, is a joy and very funny. You both are my favorite. No one breaks the show down like the two of you. I must say I like your new format. I like the recaps you used to do, but I like the new format better, and you still recap what is going on with the show. Good job, ladies. Good job. Big fan, Ivern.
Well, thank you, Ivern. I'm glad somebody mentioned our new format because I kind of like our new format, too. It gives us more time to, just talk and say stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so without, tiring ourselves out or whatever. So thank you for that email. That was great.
Okay, our next one is from Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
Hello, sisters. I am really enjoying this season so far. Episode 2 is even better than the first, in my opinion, and I have high hopes for this season.
Mm-hmm.
Will someone just nuke this hotshot disaster into hillbilly hell already and give Jason a decent storyline?
I know.
Alan Ball ruined any hope I had for Hotshot when he completely gutted and destroyed the Calvin character. And this annoying actress playing Crystal apparently hasn't attended any acting classes during the downtime.
Yeah. Woo! Thank you for that. Oh, yeah.
Sookie, shut up and listen to the words coming out of Eric's mouth.
Thank you!
Eric offers his protection, which includes some passionate and primal Viking Nookie on the side.
Okay, read that again!
She says, Eric offers his protection, which includes some passionate and primal Viking nookie on the side. What's the dilemma? He obviously cares for her and would be a formidable foe for any enemy she has.
That's what I'm saying. And she gonna run to dumbass Bill.
Why is Sookie going to Bill for help?
Thank you.
I want her completely away from him for 5 minutes. Mm. Not thinking about him, not mentioning him, mm-hmm. and not making tortured love eyes at him.
Thank you.
Too bad she didn't walk in on his white flat ass on top of that fang banger. I hope it's now sinking in for Sookie that, as Miss J said in season three, Bill is a butthole. I think that's supposed to be Sister J.
Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord.
And I know that I am in the extreme minority, but I am so bored with Jessica and Hoyt.
Aww.
I've never gotten the appeal of the Jessica character, maybe because she's the offspring of Scumbucket Bill. The only good thing about a Jessica scene is my wonderful Pam.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Sister J, you mentioned that you wanted to see Bill face some consequences. While I'll agree wholeheartedly, I don't think it will ever happen. Bill is Alan Ball's love child. Great job, Mrs. Northman.
Oh, thank you for that email. You know what? Those are some excellent, excellent comments.
I love that.
And you know what? I am so glad.
Viking nookie.
Somebody, yeah, now, hey, Eric is too fine. But I am so glad somebody else thinks it was just totally stupid for Sookie to be going over to Bill, complaining about Eric. Can't you make him need me alone? Oh, please.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much for that email.
Thank you, Sarah. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Northman.
Mrs. Northman, yes. But like I said last week, after he divorced me, though.
Okay. Okay, our next email is from Jasmine.
Hey, Jasmine.
I just started listening to you guys last season, and I love the podcast, even though my coworkers think I'm nuts because I'm laughing and going, the whole time I'm listening. I was a little thrown by the huge jump in timeline, but I'm glad that it's another storyline without Sookie and Bill together.
Yeah.
Personally, I think Sookie should hook up with Alcide. Eric is a hottie, but she just needs to leave the vamps alone.
I think she will.
After watching episode 2, I had many questions like, why didn't Sookie tell Tara the truth about where she had been?
Mm-hmm.
Tara knows about everything about Sookie's powers, and maybe she could give her some insight because we all know Jason is not the brightest bulb, even if he is a cop.
That's the truth.
Also, did that witch chick that works at the bar do something sinister to Arlene's baby when she met her alone in the woods and that whole blood... Wait, I read that wrong.
Wow.
Let me read that again. Also, did that witch chick that works at the bar do something sinister to Arlene's baby when she was trying to help her in the pregnancy?
Remember that scene?
Yes.
Oh.
I noticed last season that the strange dreams started after she met with her alone in the woods, and that the whole blood vessel busting in the eye freaked me out. Yeah. Something is definitely up with that baby. Hold on, let's stop there.
You know, that's a good...
That is a very good point.
That's
I totally
a good point,
forgot
Jasmine.
About that.
Yeah, because she was doing that ritual and she made her drink something, remember?
Yeah.
To try to, well, we thought, abort the baby.
I remember her saying, if the baby don't want to be... If the baby's meant to be, it's going to come no matter what we do.
Because she said, if the baby don't want to be aborted, it ain't going to be.
No. It ain't going nowhere.
And remember, she started bleeding and everything, and she was in the hospital, and she just knew that she lost the baby and was telling Terry, I'm sorry, I lost the baby. He said, oh, no, the baby's fine.
Yep.
And the doctor came in and said, ooh, you got a strong little critter.
Yep. I remember that now.
Oh, remember that?
Good point, Jasmine.
Good point, Jasmine.
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
She goes on to say, I guess Jason is going to be a shifter panther now, so it seems everyone is going to be supernatural except for Tara. I wonder, though, if Tara could be some kind of a witch like Lafayette. They are related, and the weirdness seems drawn to her. And no matter how far she goes, I guess she can't stay away.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's a little odd for her to be with a woman now, but I don't blame her after her last few dudes. But my question is, why can't we get another fine, chiseled brother like Eggs again?
Mm-hmm.
I thought Louisiana had a lot of black folks, but we only see about 5.
That's a good point.
She says, I thought Louisiana had a lot of black folks, but we only see about 5.
Oh, this is so true.
Anyway, always enjoy the podcast. And now I'm following both of you on Twitter, so I have someone to tweet during the show.
Okay.
Have a great day, my sisters, Jasmine.
Thank you, Jasmine, for that email. Jasmine. And you know what, Jasmine? Hey, girl, you made a good point. They in Louisiana. Where'd all the black vote? Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's a good point.
It's a very good
point. Very good point. That's like that one other real popular show that was in New York all the time. Didn't have no black people on it ever.
Who? What show?
Oh, that show with that stupid Jennifer Aniston and them on it.
Oh, Friends?
Yeah, yeah. Friends.
Yeah.
In New York City, where are all the black folks? They didn't even have Puerto Ricans. Number white people.
Or Asians or nothing.
That's why I never watched that dumb show. I never watched that daggum show. Friends. Hell no. Anyway. Okay.
Goodness. It's true, but that's the point about TV.
Exactly.
They don't represent the true population.
How you going to be in New York and there's no black people everywhere you go? Oh, please. Come on now. Anyway, okay. Back to True Blood email.
True Blood. Okay, our next one is from Mikey.
Hi, Mikey.
Hey, ladies. Welcome back. So excited you've returned to your True Blood podcast.
Yep.
As you're definitely my most favorite one. In each podcast, you make me laugh and get me thinking. I'm loving the first two episodes, especially all my new mysteries with Vamper Bill.
Uh-huh.
What's your favorite part so far? Thanks for your hard work. Sincerely, Mike.
Thank you, Mike, for that email.
So what's your favorite part so far?
Well, let's see. I would have to say my favorite part so far has been probably Eric. You know, Eric just, when he was telling Sookie, when Sookie found out that, excuse me, Eric was the one that owned the house and stuff. And then when he was there, when she was getting dressed and he was telling her, I bought the house because, you know, I was the only one that knew that you weren't dead, that you were coming back. And then, you know, I don't have to be asked into the house because it's my house. I loved it. But that Eric's been my favorite so far. Yeah. But I do have to admit, even though Bill Compton has totally turned me off and got on my nerves, but I did very much enjoy the backstory in episode 2. Because I like knowing how he and Anne Flanagan got together, and then I knew he defeated Sophie Ann some kind of way. But I love the fact that he has been working with the Vampire League all this time. I think that's just neat. That was just really neat. Yeah. So he's been double-crossing Sophie Ann even all this time.
All the time.
All this time. See? So I just think that's really, really good.
I think my favorite part so far has been Jason and Sookie. Not Jason and Hotshot, but the first episode with Jason and Sookie.
That was very good.
The whole explanation about what happened with the house and them just being together.
Mm-hmm.
So far, that was my favorite part, but that was just a small, teeny tiny scene.
That was a good part, though.
But I like scenes like that. I like scenes where it's just normal. Mm-hmm. They're not doing anything. They're just kind of talking and doing what normal people would do. Mm-hmm. Catching up on each other.
Yeah.
So, I like that part. But thank you, Mikey.
I like a lot of them, though, because I like the baby part when Arlene comes home and all the heads are off the dolls. You know, that whole thing, you know, that whole scene. Baby I like Mike. That, too. He is so cute. That little baby's so cute. All right.
Okay, our next email is from Danielle.
Hey, Danielle.
Hi, sisters. Welcome back. I am loving season 4 and can't wait to see what they do with Eric and his amnesia.
Mm-hmm.
I do wish Bill would take a flying leap off a short pier and land on a pile of very sharp stakes.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like him in the books, sorry, Sister J, and I don't like him on the show. Loving Pam.
Yep.
She is always awesome. I do wonder if maybe Bill sent Eric to the coven on purpose.
He did.
I mean, why Eric? Why not Joe Smith?
Yep.
I think Bill planned on doing this so he could get rid of Eric.
Yep.
I really like Hoyt and Jessica together, and speaking of Hoyt, the actor that plays him is in the movie Battle
L.A.
Hold on a second. That movie was stupid.
Oh.
I finally watched it on video, and it was so dumb.
Oh, okay.
They could have really done something good, because that had good special effects, at least on the commercials and stuff. And it had good special effects in the movie, but it was so stupid.
Mm-hmm. You mean the storyline was stupid, or?
Yeah, the movie was stupid.
Oh.
and the aliens. Mm-hmm. It's what pissed me off about Super 8.
Oh, okay.
The same kind of alien.
Yeah. Okay.
Which, you know, we talked about, yeah. But I won't spoil for people. But anyway, sorry to digress.
Yeah, she digressed on that one.
I love seeing Sam to get, I love seeing Sam with other shifters, and Luna is awesome.
Yeah.
I do wonder if Tommy's I want a brother's thing is just a ploy, but it could also be he really wants to be a better person.
I doubt it.
I really hope they don't make Sookie annoying. Also, I do not think Arlene's baby is evil, and Terry, he is just the sweetest guy ever.
Yep.
Oh, and Sister J, you owe me a Diet Coke. Just kidding. I happened to download the Paco the Cat episode, and I took one drink of soda and laughed, and you probably guessed what happened next.
Yeah.
You both had me laughing. I do hope to hear letters from the regulars like Idris and Myron and Mr. J and even Paco the Cat. Loving the show and loving the podcast. Bye for now, Danielle.
Thank you, Danielle, for that email. You know what, though? Oh, Sister K and I was talking about that the other day. Even now, every time I need a real hearty laugh, I go listen to our podcast number 25 and that Paco the Cat. I have the nerve to laugh each and every time.
I do, too.
It is so funny.
It's hilarious.
It's hilarious. So it's thank you for mentioning that.
And Danielle is a new, Twitter follower.
Oh cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Hey, Danielle. Let's see. I think we have one more.
Okay.
No, that was it for our email.
Okay.
But we did have some comments on iTunes comments.
Oh, okay.
That
you know,
we forgot to talk about.
Yeah, I forget about the iTunes comments.
I do sometimes.
So what are they?
Okay, so this is going way back,
okay.
But I'm going to mention it because it's this year.
Okay.
This is from Ashley, and she says, they rock 5 stars.
Great.
This is the best True Blood podcast. The sisters are so funny. I don't waste my time on the other podcasts.
Well, thank you, Ashley.
Ooh, hey,
we appreciate that.
Now, we don't want to diss nobody, but hey, we agree.
Yeah. Okay.
Another 5-star rating from Danielle. Awesome. One of the best True Blood podcasts. Love the show.
Thank you, Danielle, for that rating. We love it.
Another one from Shy Wallpaper.
Hey.
Love this podcast. 5 stars. My favorite of the True Blood podcasts. They make me crack up.
Well, thank you. What is it? Love this.
Shy Wallpaper.
Shy Wallpaper. Oh, my. What an
Okay.
Ass.
Now, this next one, we have 1 star.
What?
From.
Okay. Wait. Read this. From who's it from?
True Blood Fan 2.
Okay.
Just Awful 1 star.
What?
Sister J and Sister K are two sisters who run a podcast. I had to turn it off 5 minutes into it.
Wait a minute. What did it say? What did it say?
I had to turn it off 5 minutes into it because I could not stand Sister J's cackle of a laugh.
Oh, watch out.
It was scary. She also speaks over Sister K and doesn't give her a chance to speak, and that's very rude.
Of course I do. Well, where the hell are you from? Who don't do that? Okay, never mind. Okay,
okay.
Let me calm down.
They go on to say, she doesn't give her a chance to speak, and that's very rude. They are very loud and very opinionated, and say too many swear words in the podcast.
Well, who the hell is it?
Okay, let me just...
Well, first of all...
Let me just start off by saying, True Blood fan number 2.
Yeah, True Blood fan number 2. How are you watching True Blood, then?
Damn! Boy.
You know, how in the hell are you watching True Blood if you don't even like to hear a daggum cuss word every now and then? But anyway, be that as it may. First of all, let me just say, this must be a child or something. to point out.
Okay, wait a minute, Sister J.
That we are giving our opinions. That's what the whole daggone podcast is.
Okay, I will agree. Look, first of all, True Blood fan number two. You don't have to jack up our ratings because... You don't have to jack our shit up just because you don't like cussing or people talking over each other. We both talk. I mean, I talk over Sister J and she talks over me.
Oh,
we kind of go back and forth. It just depends on our mood on that particular day that we are talking.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, we both do it. We don't take offense. I mean, sometimes we get rowdy-batty with each other, but that's just how we do. And anybody who's listened to any of our podcasts know that.
Oh,
but second of all, who the hell don't like cussing? It is fun. Say fuck once or twice. You will love the way that feels coming off your tongue.
Oh, my Lord, have mercy.
And if you don't like our podcast, just don't listen.
Yeah.
But no, honestly, we kid a little.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Not really, but just a little. Everyone is entitled to their opinion.
That's true.
And I appreciate your feedback, True Blood fan number four.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
But,
True Blood fan number two.
Excuse me, True Blood fan number two.
I cannot understand why you would name yourself that and you actually watch True Blood.
Well, I mean.
So does he turn the sound off when they cussing or what?
We don't know if it's a he or a she.
Oh, well, whatever. Anyway.
Well, hopefully you don't keep listening.
Yeah, don't keep listening then.
Anyway.
Yeah. Don't be giving us no number ones no more. You jack it up our stuff.
Look, we have nothing but fives.
Yeah. Got this jacked up one.
You're jacking our shit up now. Don't be doing that shit no more. We gonna fight you. And we gonna eat you. And your children.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Wait, and they had the nerve to put this rain in on July 4th, meaning they must have been at home alone instead of watching fireworks and they was pissed. No, we kid.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
We like bad and good criticism. We've had it before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We've had bad criticism before. We just kidding with you.
But next time, email us and don't jack our shit up on iTunes.
True Blood fan number two. You know, you can write whatever you want. You want to put another one rating on there, that's fine. But I can't imagine that you would ever listen to us again.
No.
So, that's fine.
We're just not your cup of tea.
Yeah, we just not your cup of tea.
Okay, well, our last one.
And wait a minute. I got one more thing to say. Wait a minute. I'm just not thinking about this shit. So, is he trying to tell us? Oh, because you're too loud and stuff? Don't you know we black women? What part of that did you not get?
Oh,
he trying to say something, huh?
Apparently so.
You know what? No, don't listen to us no more.
Don't.
Okay, we got any other comments?
Yes, and then I clicked on the page and I was laughing too hard.
Okay.
Let me go back.
Okay.
Okay, our last one is... from K.N. Lyle.
Okay.
I don't know. I love this podcast, and I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
5 stars.
Go ahead. Wait, who is it?
K.N. Lyle.
Okay.
K.N. Lyle.
Okay, cool.
Oh, my goodness. This is my first time listening to your podcast, and I'm not even halfway through, and I'm almost crying. I'm laughing so hard.
That's what we like to hear.
I am loving Sister K and Sister J, but really, I want to call her Mama J. You ladies are doing a great job, and I am so thankful that you're podcasting while you're reclining. I can't wait to listen to your past podcasts. Thanks a ton. And this is from K.N. Lyle.
Well, thank you so much for that rating, K.N. And
boop.
Yeah, and we really appreciate it because, you know, when we're doing this podcast, the one comment that we like the most, I think, is when people write in, like the guy from Australia was telling us that how much they laugh at us because, you know, we do this in fun. We're not trying to be serious and all that stuff.
Well, we get serious.
Well, yeah, but we're just giving our opinions. I mean, we're talking about True Blood because we love it so much.
Yeah.
You know, so we appreciate that comment. Thank you so much.
Yes, we do. And it's 5 stars. Got that?
Okay, let's not be too loud.
Sorry to all our regular people who don't want their eardrums blown out, yeah. But we just had to make a point.
But for Kay and Lyle, if you want to really laugh, go back and listen to our episode 25 of Paco the Cat.
So, if any of y'all else would like to send us an email, please do, because we love the feedback.
We do.
You can send it to sisterspeak@gmail.com. See, y'all done got me all discombobulated.
Yep.
Our email address is sisterspeak@gmail.com. Our website is sistersinreview.com /True Blood Podcast or True Blood. We do have a voicemail line, which we forgot to give last week, but the number is 972-692-7341. And we would love to hear your actual voices.
And we're on Facebook.
On the podcast. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/SisterSpeak Podcast. And we are both on Twitter @_SisterJ and _SisterK.
Okay.
And we tweet a lot.
Yeah, we do tweet a lot. I try not to do it too much, like, while True Blood is going on.
You really can't, because there's no commercials.
Yeah, but, yeah, we do tweet.
Yeah, I don't tweet either. I might tweet after.
Yeah.
But not during, because I'm too busy watching.
Concentrating, yeah.
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 Yeah. Okay, so we hope you send us some feedback. We would love to hear from you. That's it for now. I'm Sister K.
And I'm Sister J.
See you next time.